Well, as you've just heard, you tuned into Radio Pulpit, your companion in the search for meaning, and this show is called The Ministry and Me. And of course, that's what it's all about. It's all about finding ways in which you can be in ministry with what you have and what you do every day so that God can be glorified and you can find fulfillment and joy in using your gifts, your talents, your ability, and even the location where you find yourself in order to honor and bless God. And I'm Dr. Dion Foster, your host, and today I'm coming to you all the way from Malaysia. Can you believe it? I'm in Malaysia for some meetings. Graham Power and I flew here earlier this week for some meetings around the Global Day of Prayer and Unashamedly Ethical campaigns, and for some meetings around Luzon. So do spare a prayer for us. We always do appreciate that, and do spare a prayer for our families back home. But wonderful things happening here in Malaysia that the Lord is doing. Now, friends, today I'm wanting to speak to you about a topic which has been quite close to my heart, and that is the matter of taking Jesus to work. Now, that's a very strange topic, and I'm going to unpack it in a moment. I just want to say that if at any stage during the day today you feel that you'd like to have a chance to pray with someone, my program last week in which we talked about marriage solicited such an incredible response. And friends, I really do want to encourage you, contact the Radio Pulpit Counseling Line. There are trained people there who have a heart for praying with you and listening to what you may wish to share. And you can contact them at Radio Pulpit on the Pretoria number 012-334-1320. I'll give you that number again. It is 012-334-1320 if you'd like to contact someone at Radio Pulpit. And then if you'd like to contact me, you're welcome to either go to my website, www.dionforster.com. That's dionforster.com, or drop me an email at digitaldion@gmail.com. Okay, enough of that. Now let's return to the topic that we're going to talk about today. And today's show is entitled Taking Jesus to Work. You know, I recently read a wonderful quote from Ed Silvozo. Listen to what he said. He said, "Most Christians who on Sunday worship God to the tune of inspiring music fail to see what they do during the week is also meant to be an act of worship to God." Did you get that? Most Christians who on Sunday worship to the tune of inspiring music fail to see that what they do during the week is also meant by God to be an act of worship. And of course, Paul writes to the church in Colossae in Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. Listen to this. He says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as your reward." Now, if anybody wants to dispute that particular passage, Paul wrote that to slaves, and he was saying to them, even being a slave of someone else can be an act of worship to God. So let's ask the question, why should you take Jesus to work? Well, I'd like to begin by telling you a little story. You know, recently I was speaking to a friend about his job, and I could see that he was frustrated and worn out. And I'd been trying to encourage him to see how he could use where God had placed him, just where he was, in order to be a blessing and used by God. But somewhere along the line in our conversation, he said these words to me. He said, "You know, Dion, I live for the weekends. I dread going to work on Monday, and when I'm at work, I count the hours until it's Friday." And he said this in conclusion. He said, "If I didn't need the money, I would stop working." Have you ever felt that way? And do you know someone who perhaps feels that way? You know, I think that's a common reality for many people who find themselves perhaps not in the position or place where they wanted to be in their lives. And maybe that's you today. Maybe you're not in the perfect job situation, or maybe the people amongst whom you work or the things you're expected to do at work are quite tiresome and tedious, and they're not exactly what you had hoped for in your life. You know, as I was driving back from that meeting with my friend back to my office that morning, I thought how sad it is that he is wishing away most of his life. Now just think about that for a moment. Most of his life, because, you know, friends, most of us spend between 60 and 70% of our waking hours, our conscious hours, in the workplace. And when we wish it away like that, when we wish Monday to Friday or Monday to Saturday away like us at the Power Group, then we're wishing away one of the largest portions of our lives where we are most creative, most intentional, and most often at the interface of meeting people who desperately long to know and meet Jesus. And I thought to myself, surely there must be something more meaningful to our work life than just hanging in there for a paycheck. And I don't know about you, and I'm sure that at some stage in your life, I know it's certainly been that way for me, that there are many people who live for the weekend, and we long to do something more than just work for money. Well, I want to say today, if you're listening, this is good news hour for you, because you don't have to wish your life away. You know that God has a wonderful plan to make what you do from Monday to Friday one of the most exhilarating and life-giving parts of your week. Now, the first little bit of advice that I want to offer you is the advice of a new perspective. You know, I work with a Christian businessman called Graham Power. Graham was a member of my congregation, and in 1999, he came to the Lord. And Graham owns a very large construction company called the Power Group of Companies. Those of you who live in Pretoria, you'll know the Power Group. They're doing that road between the airport and Pretoria, or they're one of the contractors there. And those of us who live in Cape Town certainly know the Power Group for the many housing developments and roads that they do. Now, Graham is a Christian who came to know the Lord, and shortly after he came to know the Lord, he also asked that question, should I become a pastor? Is that what it would take for me to fulfill God's purpose for my life? Now, let me say, some of you listening today, and maybe that's you, you do have a calling on your life, and I don't want you to duck it by saying you shouldn't follow it. And some of you even have a calling to be in pulpit ministry, to be pastors of churches, and to pastor communities like that. But the reality is that for most Christians, you're not called to a ministry in the pulpit, in a congregation. Sure, you may need to do some act of service and love in your congregation to support that community that gives you and your family and the families of others life, but your primary ministry is likely to be something where you spend most of your time and energy and where your greatest gifts and abilities can be used. Now, one of the sadnesses is that we often lack the perspective to be able to see the opportunity that God is placing before us between Monday and Friday. Most Christians tend to place their lives into two boxes. There's a sacred box, and the sacred box is the box into which we put everything that we do for God, and that may be our Sunday worship service, maybe our prayer time, reading the Bible, perhaps our generous giving, maybe it's a Bible study or cell group you attend during the week, or some kind of ministry that you're involved in, a feeding scheme or a youth or outreach ministry. And then we have a secular box, and that's everything else that we do. You know, it's washing the dog and taking care of the house and going to work and caring for the kids. And very often business people think of their God stuff as worship, and we think that worship only happens in certain places like church buildings and at certain times like on a Sunday morning or on Christmas or Easter if you don't go to church every Sunday, and I certainly would suggest that you do go to church every Sunday. And so what tends to happen is that our work and our friendship and our community relationships and our sport and our involvement in our children's schools, all of these things fall into the sacred box as if God doesn't care about them. Well, friends, I want to say to you today, the reality is that everything that we have and all that we are should be done for God. After all, that's what Paul said to us. He said, notice in Colossians 3 verses 23 and 24, he didn't say what you do in church or what you do for the Lord in certain places or certain times. He says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. So from God's perspective, there's no separation between work and worship. Now that may surprise you a little bit. You know, I once heard someone explain it in this way. He said, imagine that you've got a big worship switch on your back, like a light switch, that each time you enter into church, that switch is flicked on. Now, I've certainly seen that over the years as I've pastored churches. When people enter into the sanctuary and the worship music's playing and there are other people singing worship songs or praying or someone's preaching, you can see that they adopt an attitude of worship. Their intention and their mindset is clear. I'm here to be about the things of God. Now, imagine that that's the moment when the worship switch gets flicked on. Now, do you think that God is ever pleased when we flick the switch off? Have you ever thought about it in that way? For example, when you leave the church, do you think that God is pleased when the worship switch gets flicked off? Now, I can certainly tell you when I was pastoring churches, I had to go into the parking lot more than once to go and deal with people who had flicked off the worship switch and were having a tough time with one another in the church's parking lot. And I often wondered about those instances when people drove away and they stopped worshiping God. Was God pleased by the fact that they had turned from worship to something else? Have you thought about your life? How does God feel when the service ends? You see, the reality is we should never stop worshiping God, even at work. You know, I saw a website just recently on which the guy made a wonderful statement. He said, at work, on purpose. And that's deliberately ambiguous because it could mean that I'm at work on purpose. But in his case, he was saying he was at work and he was on the purpose that God had given him as a Christian in the workplace. And you see, that's the key to worship. You know that God has a perfect will for every person and every situation and every place. And I want to say to you that God's perfect will stretches into your life where you are now. And when you begin to look at your workplace and your work life and the hours that you spend there from God's perspective, you can see that God may just have an incredible mission for you to perform right where you are from Monday to Friday. You know, Paul instructed the Christians in the Colossian church, as we read earlier, by saying, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as your true reward. Now, one of the first lessons that we need to learn is what Christian worship truly means. Have you ever thought about what worship is? You know, for some of us, we tend to think that worship has to do with flattering God's ego, as if God needs to be told that God is great or mighty or wonderful. You know, friends, God doesn't need that. God rejoices when we tell God how much we love God and when we declare the truths of God's nature and God's character and God's mercy and power and love and grace. But worship is more than just singing songs and praying with other Christians on a Sunday. The English word worship comes from an old English word, which is worth-ship, literally to give something worth. And it means recognizing or ascribing worth to someone or something. So a person of godly wisdom and authority may be worthy of respect. We recognize something in them that is unique, and we recognize that. We honor it. We bow our knee before it, in a sense. And so when we worship, we're acknowledging that God is worthy of special attention, that God is worthy of obedience, and that God is worthy of our sacrifice and of our love. You know, worship is not just about the person of God. Of course, that is the most central part. We need to worship God for who God is. But have you ever thought that worship is about the ways of God, about saying, Lord, your ways are worthy of special attention. Your ways are worthy of obedience. The way of God is worthy of my sacrifice and of my loving action. And so, as wonderful as a heartfelt prayer of adoration or a song of praise can be, a simple act of choosing to do something in honor of God's will rather than my own is an act of worship. You know, I've often said to my congregations over the years that their worship on a Sunday begins the moment they open their eyes and decide to come to church. Because in that moment they decide, Lord, you are more worthy to have me enter into your presence than this bed is of my sleep. And the worship continues when we climb into our cars and spend R7.50 per liter driving to church. We're saying to the Lord, Lord, you and your presence and your people and the way of worshiping you in community is worth more than the cost of the petrol in my car. Can you see how every single act that we perform, every choice that we make, can be an act of ascribing and recognizing the greatest worth of God in our world? And so when we are faced with a choice in the workplace of doing something in accordance with our own will or the will of someone else, or having to choose to do it for the will of God, can you see how choosing God's way can be an act of worship? If you choose to do what God wants you to do, you're declaring that God's will and God's way is more important than your will and your way. And suddenly, Monday becomes an act of worship. You know, often when I walk into our offices in Cape Town and I see the ladies sitting at the switchboard, I just say with a big smile, thank God it's Monday. Because you know, friends, I have such wonderful opportunities, as do you, throughout the week to meet people and to be able to share with them something of the intention and the love of Christ, to be able to encounter structures that hurt and harm people, and to influence godly change in order to bring about God's will in the situation in which I am placed. And this is why Paul was saying when he wrote to the church in Rome, he said, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Now listen to how he ends it. He says, for this is your spiritual act of worship. You know, offering your body, your physical activity, your strength, what you choose to do with your hands and your heart, these are things that can be an act of worship. And so you can worship God with every choice you make, with every relationship that you engage in. You can worship God in every meeting, with every client you encounter, with every phone call you make. In short, you can use every moment of every day to worship God. Now, let me ask you this question. If Jesus had your job, do you think that he would approach the tasks and the people that you encounter every day differently? How would Jesus do it differently to how you're doing it? You see, you can be certain that God wants to bless the people that you work with. God also has a perfect will for the business within which you work. Maybe God wants to use you to impact some of the values of your employer, or to lovingly transform the business practices in your industry. Maybe God wants to use you to reach out to a client or a particularly tough person who's a competitor. Now, here's what I want to encourage you to do. I want to encourage you to have the courage to take responsibility for where you are. You know, when Graham got saved, he felt a strong sense of call to begin to challenge business people to worship God through their business lives by committing themselves to ethics and values and clean living. And you can find out more about that on the Unashamedly Ethical website. He started a campaign called Unashamedly Ethical. The website is www.unashamedlyethical.com. Now that was an act of worship. It was as clear as daylight. You see, Proverbs 11 verse 1 says that the Lord abhors dishonest gain. It says, Proverbs 11 verse 1, the Lord abhors dishonest scales, but accurate weights are his delight. So here Graham could delight God, please God, make God happy by getting not only his own house in order and the domain over which God had given him authority, his business, but he also had the opportunity to call together all of his directors and tell them that they had to root out all dishonest practices in the company and that they needed to be vigilant about stopping others who wanted to engage them in corruption. Now you may be saying, well, I'm not the boss. I work in a company. That's okay. You can begin with yourself. Remember that the kingdom of God is established wherever you bow your knee to Jesus Christ. Wherever you say, Jesus, in this decision you are king, God's kingdom is established there. In every meeting that you go into and say, Lord, I want you to give me discernment to know how to decide and what to decide that is in the best interest of your kingdom of justice and mercy and grace and love and provision for all. and allow God to work with you. And as you make those bold choices, as you accept responsibility for what God has placed under your care, maybe you have one or two people working for you. Maybe you work with a particular system like the payroll in your company or the leave policy, or maybe you're a salesperson and you decide today to say, Lord, I want to do this as an act of worship. I want it to be done your way because it's more worthy than my way. Friend, that becomes an act of worship. And so the good news is that the Power Group has not only continued to do business by godly values and ethical practice, they've grown and they've encouraged others to do the same. Can you see how suddenly, from dreading a Monday, you've become a missionary in the marketplace? You know, Graham had realized that by taking Jesus to work with him, he had transformed from Monday to Friday into an act of sustained worship. In other words, to come back to the image we used at the beginning, the worship switch stayed on. And so Sunday became a time of thanksgiving, of celebration, of asking God for strength and insight for the week that lay ahead. And Monday to Saturday became the opportunity to worship God outside the four walls of the church. And so suddenly Graham's work life took on a whole new meaning. And as he sought God's guidance and direction to help him impact the people and systems with the gospel, God made him a missionary in the marketplace. And you know, the good news is God wants to do the same for you. And so, of course, the great news is that God has promised to empower us and always to remain with us. In Matthew 28, verse 20, we are promised that we will never be forsaken or left alone when we are doing God's will, even when it means standing for a tough decision. When you see the marketplace as a mission field into which God is sending you, suddenly everything about your work week changes. Meetings become an opportunity to share blessing and to bring God's will to bear. Co-workers and clients are the people to whom God is sending you to love them and serve them. And every obstacle and challenge becomes an opportunity to show God's power and grace and to stretch your faith and to turn the trials into testimonies. So I want to share with you just a few little things that I'd like you to consider as you face the work week for the rest of today and the rest of this week. Firstly, I want to encourage you to acknowledge that God wants to be worshipped every moment of every day. And that includes your working hours. Secondly, after you've acknowledged that, I want you to commit your work life and your workplace to God in prayer. You know, just like a pastor would pray to the Lord asking for wisdom and guidance and insight to minister to his or her congregation, you should pray about your workplace and the people you encounter and the tasks that you do every day, and ask God to show you what he would want you to achieve during those precious hours when you're at work. Thirdly, after you've acknowledged and committed your workday to Christ, take responsibility for the favor and influence and space that God has given you, and use every opportunity to bring God's will and God's way to bear on your sphere of influence. Whether you're a business owner, or a person who manages others, or someone who works directly with customers, or someone who is in an office on your own, remember what Paul said, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. You know, God has used the most humble positions in our company to achieve some of the most amazing breakthroughs for his kingdom. In my new book, Transform Your Work Life, How to Turn Your Ordinary Day into an Extraordinary Calling, I tell the story of Eleanor, and I'll share that story with you here one day. Do you know, the whole of the start of the transformation in the Power Group of companies and eventually Graham coming to the Lord and starting the Global Day of Prayer started with one lady who worked as a secretary in our company, Eleanor, and how she began to pray and God began to change things. So the first thing is to acknowledge that God wants to be worshipped of every moment. Commit your work life to God in prayer. Take responsibility for what God wants you to do. And the fourth thing that I want to say is be intentional. Be intentional about including Jesus in your work life. You know, I started asking a few basic questions in order to do that. I started asking, if Jesus were doing my work, what would he do differently? If Jesus were working amongst the people that I have contact, how would Jesus treat them? If Jesus faced some of the challenges that I face in my workplace, how would he deal with them? You know, that intention changes your work environment. And finally, I want to encourage you to be practical in making Jesus' presence felt in your workplace and through your work life. You know, I follow a simple little discipline at the start of each week. On a Sunday evening, after my children are asleep and things quieten down in the house, I take my appointment book and I read through it and I pray about every task, every to-do item, and every person that I know I'm going to meet. I go through each day slowly and I ask God to give me wisdom for the decisions and love for the people and strength for the challenges and tasks that I face. You know, it's amazing what this little spiritual discipline does to my week. I'm constantly amazed at how God prepares me to face difficult moments and difficult people with His grace. Frequently, God shows me solutions to complex problems and often instructs me to do a simple little practical thing in order to show His love to someone during the week. So here's the question I want to ask you. How do you feel about your work life? Maybe it's time for you to start taking Jesus to work with you and to transform your ordinary day into an extraordinary calling. Well, friends, it's been such a joy to spend these last 30 minutes with you here on the program, The Ministry in Me on Radio Pulpit, your companion in the search for meaning. And just to remind you, you're welcome always to give someone in the Radio Pulpit prayer and counseling line a call if you'd like to say a prayer with someone. Maybe it's about something you're facing at work. And you can do that by dialing the number 012-334-1320. That's 012-334-1320. And if you'd like to contact me, go to my website, www.dionforster.com. That's dionforster.com. And I'd love to hear from you and share with you in your joy and your blessing. So may the Lord bless you as you use your work life as an act of ministry for Him. Goodbye.